Okay, guys, welcome back
James.
to the Midcast. What is that a problem?
No, God. You threw me for a loop. Go for it, man. I'm sorry.
My apologies. Okay, welcome back to the Midcasters, guys. I'm Craig, and happy related Father's Day. And we have a very special guest, but before we introduce her, my co-host.
Jalen. Also known as Lesson Live Translation on TikTok. And today we're joined by
And I'm
the amazing
looking to
creator we all
be.
know.
I'm sorry.
Go for it. Introduce yourself.
Little Katie TV, what's up?
Awesome.
I'm just that's my name on all platforms, all social media platforms, so
Awesome. Craig threw me for a loop for a second, man. But this is episode 8. We're going to talk all things cinema, TV, and maybe a little bit Marvel. But jumping into our first talk of the day, the Russo brothers have a $300 million film on Netflix with Chris Pratt, which is not surprising. And it's claimed that they've had success after The Gray Man, which led to this film. And I don't know how to feel about this, but what do y'all think about this $300 million budget?
I'll let Katie go first.
It is what it like. I don't know. I mean, it's a little nerve-wracking, I guess, like for a film. But like, I guess I'm kind of one of those people that I'm like, okay, like you have this budget and you could do what you want with it and see how it works, I guess. But I don't know. I mean, it sounds like it could be hit or miss to me. I don't know.
It is a sci-fi film, and we know how Netflix is with their sci-fi films. They're not the best.
Yeah, because the Jennifer Lawrence one was, I mean, Lawrence, Jennifer Lopez one was, I heard that one's magnificent.
Who's J-Lo?
The J-Lo, Jennifer
Oh,
Lopez.
J-Lo. J-Lo gonna
We don't
bring
know
your
her.
film down is what she should be called. Yeah, that film, that was horrendous.
I have more faith in, I mean, the Russo brothers. I mean, I'd rather watch whatever they decide to do. I'd rather watch that than anything with Zack Snyder ever again.
Think a lot of
Mean,
us would. He's supposed to make like six films
that's fair.
for Rebel Moon.
Yeah.
Yes, like, and he said the next Rebel Moon is gonna have like the director's cut of the second or the first one is gonna have like more nudity in it. I'm like, dude, that's just a porno. I don't want to see that.
Oh, so it's Poor Things, but Zack Snyder's version.
Ugh.
Yeah, I
I'm
won't be watching any
disappointed.
of that. The Russos are they're already testing my limb. I'm like, you made Captain America 1 and 2 and Infinity Wars and Endgame, and then you made The Gray Man. Something's not mapping, and I see this budget, and then I remember how Netflix didn't want to pay Nancy Meyers for her next film, Paris Paramount. She was asking for $150 million, which would have made it the most expensive rom-com of like all time. And we know Nancy Meyers. Like, she's gonna put that money to use. And I'm just like mind blown that they're willing to pay this nonsense, but they wouldn't pay for her movie.
Yeah. We're gonna see.
But
Yeah, we'll see. It looks, I don't
we'll
know.
see. And plus, they're supposed to make like another Gray Man movie with I think Ryan Gosling as
Now,
a
I
prequel or
think that
sequel.
I haven't seen the first one, but I'm pretty sure that would make bank because Ryan Gosling is pretty much entertaining in anything.
It didn't make a lot in the theaters. I mean, but then again, it was only in the theaters for like 1 or 2 weeks at like very limited theaters. But we shall see. But moving
I'd rather see the Nice Guys too, to be honest. But that's just me.
Yes,
Instead
I
of Gray
love
Man too.
that
Who do we call to
movie.
make that happen?
One of my favorite
Kurt Russell.
scenes is still One of my favorite scenes is still when he broke.
Or Russell Crowe. I don't know who was in it. Sorry, Craig. Go ahead. I get them confused.
For a minute, I was like, wait, Kurt Russell was in that film?
Kurt Russell, Russell
Crowe. That's the same person, right?
Yeah, they same do, thing. It's fine.
I will say they do look alike.
I don't think they do.
Their names just confuse me sometimes. So I'm like, Russell Crowe, Kurt Russell.
Honestly, that's so valid.
Sorry, Craig, go but ahead.
I'm like, he was in The Gladiator, right? But he wasn't.
The scene where he breaks his hand is still hilarious to me.
Like, oh, it's her protest group. We'll never get over that scene. But I don't think we're ever going to get that, unfortunately. I wish we would. But we do have some other Netflix news today that we have two beef castings with Carey Mulligan, who I always mix up with Michelle Williams for whatever reason, and Oscar Isaac. So what do y'all think about this and the fact that it's not actually a limited series, but a full-on series?
You go first.
I haven't seen the first one. I heard great things about it, but I prefer those type of shows where each season has a different cast. I like that.
Me too. It kind of reminds me of a True Detective. Mm-hmm. But what do you think about it?
Well, so I guess it's confusing a little bit because is it going to be the same? Is it going to be a limited series again with just a different cast, or is it a genuine like
series? Yeah. So my thoughts are either it's going to be how it is with White Lotus or True Detective, and it's just a different couple, feuding couple every season, but maybe at the end of this series, they all come together in some type of weird way. That'd be like really kind of, oh, that's an interesting way to wrap up the series. But it might be like four seasons, but I am excited because I do love this director and the writer, and they're also attached to Thunderbolts. So.
Yeah, I mean, I would say Carey Mulligan and Oscar Isaac are pretty stellar actors, so I think they'd wipe the floor. I think they'd be amazing together, to be honest.
They might win an Emmy for it because the last couple from the last season won the Emmy.
Possible.
I know, and I really loved him in Scenes from a Marriage.
I haven't seen that yet. I heard it's good, though.
Oh, my gosh. Him and Jessica Chastain, phenomenal. And I was like, oh, wait, that's when he kissed her armpit. Oh, my gosh. It was so funny. But let's move on to some other news that we got. I found this one very fitting. Jennifer Lawrence is set to star in a Real Housewives-inspired murder mystery film known as The Wives. Might be similar to Knives Out, but what do y'all think about this? Craig.
I honestly, they're making movies out of everything now. Barbies, Super Mario, I mean, any IP is pretty much getting turned into a film, and sometimes that can be hit or miss, but so far it's been working out pretty well.
I mean, for me, I think it's very fitting for her. I know some people have their issues with Jennifer Lawrence. Like, I think she's super cute and everything. And I think, honestly, it sounds like it's her calling a little bit. Like, especially Jalen mentioned before we started and everything that she, like, talks about it a lot. So I'm wondering if that's something that she'll, I don't know. I feel like that's something she's like super excited to do. And I think when actors are super passionate about something that they're doing, then it's going to turn out well. And didn't you say, Jayla, she's producing it too?
She is. I don't know if it's going to be for Apple TV, but I'm just excited for the fact that she really loves The Real Housewives. But I hope it doesn't kind of turn into a bodies, 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 where it's just kind of like kind of cringy. I just want it to be very thrilling. Not like Knives Out, but more dark and ominous is how I kind of hope. But I kind of feel like it's not going to be like that. Probably like more of a comedy thing.
Bit more goofy, probably. But I think it's cute.
But I'm excited for what she does.
Yeah.
It's better than her doing that film with Leonardo DiCaprio where she's playing like one of his wives of Frank Sinatra, which I always knew it was a matter of time before they made some type of Frank Sinatra film. I don't see that voice coming out of his mouth, but we'll see.
That'll be interesting.
Oh my gosh. It will. I love him. But moving on, we finally have a home for the Megalopolis, aka Flopolis, Lionsgate, and they will not be paying for the marketing, which means that Francis Ford Coppola will be paying that, and it's supposed to be running in about 1,500 theaters. What are your thoughts on that? And after all these allegations, are you hoping to see this, or are you hoping it stops? Craig, start with you.
I like it, though.
Go for it.
So, I mean, I think that's actually smart on their end. I don't like what came out from France, from what happened on set. I think that's repulsive. And I think Lionsgate is making a good move here and making him pay for all of it. I mean, he's rich, so you do it yourself. And it sounds like it's like a terrible movie right now. So, yeah, I think it's smart.
I mean, Shia LaBeouf's in it, so.
Right.
Kind of tells you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Poor Adam Driver.
Shia LaBeouf has only had like three hits and that's it. Yeah. Everything Holes. Else is
that's
Holes.
It.
Yes.
That's his only good movie, guys.
I forgot about
Transformers.
Right.
Yeah. I can't. I mean, he's married to Mia Goth, so I mean that's just like kind of telling with all of her allegations as well.
He is.
I swear.
Yeah, they have a kid.
Ew. Exactly.
Does that make a lot of sense now with her allegations?
Yeah, I mean, it would. I mean, that's crazy to me. Oh, ew. I hate that.
I don't even remember what movie.
Yeah, them freaking Transformer movies, I swear, man. When he died and went to Transformers Heaven, I wanted to take my soda cup and throw it at the screen.
I stopped watching after he left. I didn't watch the Mark Wahlberg ones, but I did watch the newest one. That one's okay, but it's not like the bomb. But hopefully this movie flops. I was really sad that Lionsgate picked it up. It looks like a dream that should have never left his head. And the fact that he's been working on it for 40 or 50 years and had like how many rewrites is insane.
It's stupid.
That's a lot.
But yeah, we even have worse news, which I didn't think was possible. The Rock will be working with Disney in a producing capacity with his company. And he is involved in, obviously, Moana and that movie he did with Emily Blunt, The Jungle Cruise, Jungle Book, whatever you want to call it. Do you guys think this is going to be a good partnership or just like Black Adam all over again?
Do you want me to go first?
I'll let Jay go.
Okay. So to be honest, I haven't seen Jungle Cruise, so I don't exactly know how he worked, but like I've seen him in other films and everything, and I do think he plays himself quite often. If it's Disney, it makes me a little nervous because I feel like it's gonna be extremely cheesy, and when you're working with Disney, a lot of Disney films, the actors are overacting, and I do think a lot of them are fairly cheesy. I'll give it a chance, but at the same time, I don't exactly know. I'm in the middle about it, I guess. That's my opinion.
I just keep seeing DC and how he made all these false promises and essentially wanted to take over DC, and I'm just like, don't touch Marvel, don't touch anything Star Wars, mind your business, mind your hands. The game plan, that's it. That's the only thing I enjoy him in.
They better not put him in Marvel. I'll be so mad.
I'll probably be like, can I be Captain Mark, Captain whatever? And I'm like, no, you can't be nothing.
No.
You can sit down.
No. There's the door, bitch. Like, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah. Please, Kevin Feige, if you hear this, for the love of God, please don't put him in anything. And you too, Kathleen Kennedy, don't let him touch Star Wars, because he will ruin
it. Whoa. Hold up. Language. That's the first time I've ever heard Katie curse.
You know what? I think that is. It's the door, bitch.
Me? I cuss in my videos. I say, but I don't. Yeah, I guess I don't say bitch a lot.
She's passionate about The Rock, as we all are.
I think it's ridiculous how he has in his contract that he can't lose a fight in a movie. I mean, like, how big is your ego?
It sounds like Tom Cruise, but I don't feel like Tom Cruise actually has it in his contract.
I mean, he died in
Collateral. He just can't use his likeness for anything. That's the only thing. I hate The Rock. Yeah. I'm sorry. I just like The Rock.
Yeah. Well, I forgot. See, I forgot that he said that he, yeah, that fight thing. I forgot that he said, I can't lose a fight. Like, ew. I don't like that.
What was the movie he ruined with Channing Tatum and he, like, stepped in?
G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe or something. Yes. He was in that. And then he was in, like, another movie with Brendan Fraser. And he overtook that. And so Brendan Fraser left. And it's kind of like what he's doing with Fast and the Furious. Tokyo Drift is my limit. That's it. I don't care about no other movies in that franchise.
Yeah.
But he has, like, this knack for, like, pushing people out and then making it way worse.
When they went to space, I clocked out. I was like, this is just ridiculous.
They went to space and cars?
Yeah. I
watched Tokyo Drift. That's my limit. That's the best Fast and the Furious movie, and I like to do that just to piss people off, just because it has nothing to do with the original plots.
That's why I think that Tokyo Drift should have been, like, a separate film, or maybe, like, a prequel.
Maybe. But we have The Rock, right? And on top of that, we also have Blade frustrations, and I would hate to see The Rock try to play Blade in any way, shape, or form, but Mahershala Ali, I know I'm butchering that, is displaying his frustrations as well as his lawyer, but he's also in Jurassic Park right now filming. So I don't think Blade's happening anytime soon. Do you guys think Blade is happening? Never happening? What do y'all think about that? Katie, we'll start with you.
I mean, from how many times that it's difficult. I guess, you know, for me, it's hard because were they planning on making, like, a remake of it, or are they, like, wanting to revamp the whole thing? Like, the whole front, like...
It was supposed to take place in the 20s, but not supposed to be present day. And they've already lost their second director. And I think this is, like, their fifth writer that they're on. And it's the dude who wrote Thor, Ragnarok, and Black Widow.
So, my thing is, then, because this happens a lot. I feel like that happens a lot, where they're like, we lost a director, we lost a writer, we keep losing people, whatever. And then eventually down the road, it does happen. So I feel like at some point it will happen. I think it's hard because I don't exactly know. It's hard to tell, I guess. But when you continuously lose directors and they're not wanting to do it, like, that should be a sign to be like, okay, maybe move on to a different idea, you know?
He was announced in 2019 as Blade. And we had the little snippet of him in the Eternals with Kit Harington. Kit Harington, is that his name? As the sword man?
Oh.
Sword dude.
Who did he play in Eternals?
Yeah, they had his voice. No, it was the old Blade's voice. The Black Knight? Is that his name?
I've only seen it.
Yeah, once. It was one of the the end credit scenes and like that's the last time we ever heard anything. But I mean, I feel like I would have left like a long time ago. And I mean, it's telling that he took on this project for Jurassic World 4, because I don't think he has any intentions anymore. I think he's over it and very frustrated by it. And this means, I guess, The Rock will be taking over. Just kidding.
No.
Just kidding. I don't blame him, though, because 2019, which means this project was in their minds probably 2018, 2017.
If Mahershala, I think it's very telling if a lot of people are leaving your project. Maybe the problem isn't them, it's you.
I think it's Disney. Because Blade is the type of project that needs to be rated R. And yeah. I think that Disney won't let Kevin Feige do it, but Kevin Feige wants to do it.
Right.
I mean, I get the frustrations. I mean, I've never seen the original Blades or anything like that, but I mean, this is a 2-time Oscar winner and you're like doing this.
Just watch the first two. You don't need to watch the third one.
Which one has Ryan Reynolds?
The third one.
Can I skip that one? Okay, yeah. I can skip that one. Isn't like Jessica Biel in one of them or something?
I think she's in the third. I have to check her IMDb.
So what you're telling me is Ryan Reynolds plays Deadpool in every single movie he's in for Marvel. what I'm understanding here. Oh my gosh. Anyways, let's move on to our next news. We have some positive news. Sony has officially bought the Alamo Draft House, and I would assume this is due to their financial woes. What do y'all think about this? Do you guys think we're going to see more of these open across the country? And have you ever been to an Alamo Draft House, first of all? Katie, I'll start with you.
Yeah, so I've been to Alamo, and it's actually, like, my favorite thing to do now. So I think it's a good idea. I think Sony's actually quite – I hope they don't ruin, like, anything or the experience, but I don't think they will. Anyway. But yes, I've been to Alamo Draft House and I love it there because you can literally you sit down and they take your order and you have to get there however many minutes before it starts. And if you get there late, they won't let you in. So it's kind of nice. And I do think they should continuously like go to different areas because I'm in Omaha, like ours is in Omaha, Nebraska. And like, I'm shocked that some places don't have it because it's Nebraska and we have one. And I think every theater experience should be like that. That should be like a celebratory type event that you want to take your friends to a movie for.
No kids allowed. That, so.
Facts.
Bring one to Arizona, please. I can't take AMC much longer.
Y'all need one.
Craig, what do you think about this?
Say it again.
What do you think about Sony buying the Alamo Draft House?
I want to go. I haven't been. I've seen people do like going to new movie theaters on TikTok and stuff like that. And I've heard good things about it. I just haven't been to one. I want to go to one. I also want to go to a drive-through movie theater.
Me too.
That sounds fun. We have them out here in Arizona, which is very odd, even though because it's hot as all get out here.
Do they play new movies?
I just want to sit in the theater. Yeah, we have drive-in theaters.
Oh, I don't.
Arkansas is the best out here. Yeah, I mean, I've never actually been to one. I mean, I've seen it in Greece, but I know we have them here. It's like hot, so it's very weird that we have them here. But you know what? Hey, AC in the car, I won't be bothered. Sign me up. Oh my gosh. But let's move on to some other news that we have. We have Rebecca Ferguson talk Silo season 2. For those who haven't seen Silo, it is this community, it's a silo, essentially. It is hundreds of feet into the earth. They're in there because the world is unlivable. They don't know why they're there. They don't know when they can leave. They just know they're there. And I think it's 10,000 people in the silo. It's a book adaptation. It's supposed to be 4 seasons. So I will always recommend that show to anybody I ever talk to, because I think that's the best show Apple TV's ever made. And Rebecca Ferguson needs to win an Emmy for it because she plays a kick-ass sheriff. But what do y'all think about this? And I know you guys said you haven't watched it, but do you guys think you'll watch it after this?
I think so. I'm interested. I want to get more into TV shows and, like, get excited. Because, like, so, like, for The Boys and The Bear, those are, like, two of my favorite shows currently. And I love how intrigued I am for it. And I want to get more excited. Like, I want to start a show and as it goes on, like, as it goes on, you can get more and more excited for those seasons. So if I can start it now, then I'll get more excited for it. So I do want to watch it now. I'm excited.
8 episodes. That's a really good show on Apple. Just don't read any of the books for anyone who hasn't watched it. It's just kind of one of those things where, like, every episode has you on the edge of your seat. And I feel like Apple has done a really good job with their shows to do that. Like Dark Matter, Presumed Innocent. I love how they just, like, throw money into their shows. Like, they do, well, they don't cancel shows, and I love that. Netflix, yeah. Talking to
that's
you.
That's cool. I like that. Call them out.
I know, I'm still pissed about $18.99. I'm never going to get any resolution about that show.
Like 20 shows got canceled during the pandemic with Netflix, and I was so upset.
Yeah, House of Cards was good, and The Crown, but the last season of The Crown was really bad.
Yeah,
so bad. Oh my gosh! But that's why I love Apple.
Do y'all watch Bridgerton?
I do. I love Bridgerton.
I love Grey's Anatomy, Shonda Rhimes, but I've never seen it.
Do I have to read the books to get into the show?
No.
It's Shonda Rhimes. I would say no.
I mean, I would say it's... I kind of skip through parts, which you're not supposed to do, but I just, like, skipped through season one. I, like, kind of blasted past that one and went to season two, because season two was so good, and I love season three, but no, you don't have to read the books, in my opinion.
I think Shonda Rhimes does a really good job with her shows. I couldn't get into it, but
I get that.
Before she left, Grey's Anatomy was really good, but it's a piece of garbage now.
Can't believe they're still going, to be honest.
Honestly, I stopped after, I don't know, I got really upset by something and I just stopped watching it. So I just couldn't do it. But moving on to our last piece of news before we jump into some box office information, we have an adaptation to James, which is going to be executive produced by Steven Spielberg, and Taika Waititi's in early talks to direct the project. It kind of reframes a classic story of Huckleberry Finn from the point of view of Jim, an enslaved man who floats down the Mississippi River with teenage Finn, a good friend of Tom Sawyer. Do you guys think this is a positive move that he's not in Marvel now, so he can focus on, like, smaller projects? I know he did Next Goal Wins, which I haven't heard good things about. But do you guys think this is something that he needs to get, like, his mindset back on track for his upcoming Star Wars film that he's working on and the Tower of Terror reboot that he's doing?
I'd say so, but that's just, no. I think this is a good move on his part, especially with a bomb-ass director like Steven Spielberg. I mean, I don't know. I trust anything Spielberg does, so with him doing that, with that good of a director, that's fire to me.
He's working with the American Fiction. I think one of the producers on that as well, so that has me really excited.
Yeah.
I think he needs this after Thor, because I feel like if he gets his mind reset, he can make a film for Star Wars That's kind of similar to Thor Ragnarok, and I feel like that can get people excited and not like a silly, goofy Star Wars, because we know how those fans are, and Tower of Terror that he's working on, because I am like, I need some information about that film soon, because that was my favorite movie growing up as a kid.
Star Wars fans are so miserable. I don't say anything about nothing online, because I can hold my own, but like, they, I mean, if it's not a heterosexual white man holding a saber, then they lose their shit.
I mean, I didn't really like The Acolyte. I just felt like it felt very weird to me. There's just something that feels really off about it. Like, it doesn't feel like Star Wars. It doesn't feel like that grand experience. And I feel like that show's really disappointed me. And I wanted to like it, but it's just...
I do really want to watch... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm not a huge Star Wars fan, so I didn't watch a cool... I don't watch Star Wars, so sorry, but I
did hear... boys, girl.
Yeah. So...
If you watch Star Wars, watch Andor. That is literally the best Star Wars show I've ever seen made. 12 episodes, okay. Has nothing to do with anything. This is kind of like a prequel to Rogue One before like Andor becomes Andor. You'll love Diego Luna immediately after.
Sweet.
But that one's really good. Noted. I just feel like, yeah, it's like, yeah. They're a bunch of bullies. They're very racist. I mean, Ewan McGregor had to come out in support of I can't remember her name. Her character name is the third sister, because they were being really racist to her. And I was like, oh, man, she's an awesome villain. Y'all are just bullies. You're not even fans at this point. Just be for real. If he has to come out and speak out against y'all, y'all are doing something wrong. Yeah, I keep my ratings to myself for Star Wars, because they're not very popular.
That is very... I applaud that, because, you know, those fans are hectic.
They're close to Marvel fans. But I don't really consider them fans. If you're going to be hateful and just very mean and nasty, you're not in the right fan base. Like, y'all, move on. Luke is dead. Dead. Right. We need to move on. Okay? Like, mm-hmm. We get it. The last three sequels were horrible. I can guarantee you every single actor on those movies thinks so as well, okay? So if you want to blame anybody, blame Disney, because Kathleen Kennedy did what y'all told her to do, and she put those movies together. So blame you.
Right.
Fire Bob Iger, please.
I'm not a huge Star Wars fanatic, but I'm still trying to figure out like the timeline. I mean, I know I could go on Disney and look at the timeline, but It still kind of like baffles me.
Dave Filoni kind of created one, and I believe he's making a movie of like the first Jedi ever made or something like that. And then Jon Favreau, who is my favorite director of all time, is making the Grogu movie, because it's going to be season 4 of The Mandalorian, and then it's going to end with a movie. I don't think Pedro Pascal is going to be in it, but then again, he's not in the suit 99% of the time. It's Brendan Wayne, and he just voices the character. But I don't think he doesn't really like Star Wars.
I don't blame him.
I do love the technology they use, because they use that big screen and they make, it's not a green screen, so they make the world pre-hand and you just step into it. And it just cuts out a lot of the post-production work that they have to do, which I find very interesting.
What is The Acolyte about, anyway?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. But the Jedis are big gaslighters. That's all I know about that. It's the girl who plays Rue. And she has a twin. And essentially, one is bad, one is good, one was a Jedi, she's not a Jedi anymore, and then the other one's, like, bad because she's, like, corrupt by some evil thing. I don't know what it is, because it doesn't even look human. and it's just very ooh. Like the Jedi's, they're boring. A lot of them get killed very easily. Yeah, it's not that good. Andor, just watch Andor. You only need to watch Andor, Obi-Wan, Kenobi, the series, and then The Mandalorian. Ahsoka's okay, but it's not like, never seen the cartoons because I'm not a cartoon person. I could care less about Rebels and the Clone Wars. Like, I don't watch cartoons.
I will say the Clone Wars is phenomenal. I haven't finished it. I'm on season, I think, 6, but it expands on a whole lot more things than the first two prequels do. And a lot of the characters are written a lot better.
I just like Hayden Christensen. That's my vibe. But wrapping things up, we have some positive news about Inside Out 2. One of the best sequels that I've ever seen. Not the best sequel, obviously. I had it pulled up, but I don't have it anymore. Inside Out 2 has earned $100 million in the film's second domestic weekend, which is only a 35% drop. And I guess it's the best hold for any major blockbuster in history. And it's already earned $724 million. And so it's obviously the highest grossing movie of the year, next to Dune. Do you guys think it's going to hit a billion? And what did y'all think if you've seen it? And Katie, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so I'd love if it hit $1 billion, honestly. I was absolutely obsessed. I didn't post a review on it because I was like, I was busy that week. But anyway, I loved it so much. I think the way that they introduced the new characters was really creative. And I think it was important to, if y'all haven't seen the movie or anything, spoilers ahead, but that panic attack that Riley had was so genius to put into a movie and like kind of showing like you can calm yourself down from it and like just showing kids that like you know when you get older like things get overwhelming and things are gonna get crazy and it's gonna be insane. But I like the fact that they were like not just one emotion, like you are not one emotion, you are like you and you have all these emotions that can help you as well, like they can be combined and everything. I loved it so much. Hope it gets a billion. I cried so hard, but you know I'm sure everybody did.
I've only seen the second one. I've never seen the first one. I really like Anxiety. So it was the cutest character and how anxiety can overwhelm every single emotion that you have.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, all you need is joy and to let all the other emotions come through and that it's okay to feel 50,000 different emotions, to just kind of ride the wave. It's going to happen. We all get it, but it was cute. It's meaningful, and I feel like it's going to really hold its own for a long time, and I do need to watch the first one.
Okay, well, Katie, do you think the second one is better than the first one? I haven't seen the second one yet, but what's your preference?
So, for me, I think they're both, it's difficult to say because I think they're both different in their own ways. I think the first one, I really liked the combination between joy and sadness and how joy was like, you can't be sad, like you have to be happy all the time. And then they obviously were like, you need the other emotion to literally like function and be a human. Anyway, I don't know. I think they're both their own. I don't know. I don't even see, it's difficult to even see it as a sequel. Like, I don't know if I could choose between the two.
It's just growing.
I don't know. Yeah.
Because you have so many simple emotions when you're younger.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't see a difference between this. Like, I don't know if I can choose between the two. I think, for me, the second movie, I think, is more important because you get so many more emotions and life begins to get way crazier. So I like that aspect of it and showing that like, hey, we're growing up, life's getting crazy. Yeah, I can't choose. I think they're both like, they both have their strengths, I guess, and weaknesses. Yeah.
That's just my opinion. I like how she said that. Of course I'm delusional. You can be happy all the time. Like, this is so relatable.
People need to be happy every day. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I was like, so do I have those people in my brain? Yeah.
I know.
It's so funny. Oh my gosh. But let's end on the best note that we can this week. The Bike Riders, my most anticipated movie of this year. I was so overjoyed that it was picked up by Focus Features, got a theatrical run. My theater was super packed, and the fact that they put it in the smaller theater is criminal. And I'm just happy that Jodie Comer is getting the love she deserves, because she is a kick-ass actress. She's halfway to an EGOT, and she's like only 28, 29. But what do y'all think about this movie? Who is your standout? And are you going to see this like 10 more times? Katie, let's start with you, because I know you love this movie.
Yeah. So, okay. So I have thoughts. I mean, I personally think, obviously, Jodie Comer as Kathy was the standout for sure. Like, that's her movie. That's always going to be her movie. For me, I was sad about Austin Butler, though. I posted a review at it, and I was going to mention it. But Austin Butler as Benny, I think, was lacking something for me. Like, I wish, because they were doing all these promos together and everything, and Tom Hardy was barely doing any promos, but in the movie, it's like Tom Hardy and Jodie Comer, like, it's kind of them together. And then, like, with Austin Butler as Benny, it was like, yeah, so I don't talk a lot. So I don't know. It was difficult. I wanted more from him. I wanted to know more about him. And I think the mystery of his character, I think that was meant to be like that. But I wanted more overall. I wanted more excitement. I wanted more thrills. I think they could have done slow-mo shots. Like, I don't know why, but slow-mo shots have a lot of power to them, in my opinion. And I think it would have been cool to see, like, Benny riding past Kathy and, like, looking at her and, like, smirking. And she was like, bitch, you know, kind of thing. Like, it would have been really cool to see some of the slow-mo shots and make it more exciting and thrilling. And I wanted to be more invested or, like, transported into the movie, but I didn't get that. I like the movie, but I think it's a lot different than what I expected, I guess. It's good, but I wish it could have been a little bit better, you know?
Did you read the book?
I didn't. I did not.
I want to read it. It just seems really, I think the purpose is that, like, we were supposed to keep the mystery from his character, that we're not supposed to know him entirely. Right. Because one thing that Kathy had said is, like, she's never seen him cry, with the exception of maybe once or twice. And it's just like, okay, it makes sense why we didn't see more of him. And I feel like it was just more focused on her and her story. And yeah. I mean, I could watch Austin Butler ride a bike for like 4 hours.
Same.
I was not vibing with Tom Hardy's character that much, because he was mumbling a lot. And I was like, what? I was like, bro, I can't understand you.
Now I see why you said you wanted more slow-mo shots. I was just going to say, oh, that's just an excuse so you can see his hair glistening in the wind.
It may have been, honestly.
I think he just looks good in slow motion. He's a lot of mysterious vibes about him. It was sexy. It was edgy and dangerous. Jodie Comer is just naturally funny, and I'm going to need her on SNL. That's, like, just going to need to happen. But I'm just glad that more people are seeing her, because she has a lot of amazing work. And if you haven't, I really suggest Killing Eve. That might be one of the best shows I've ever seen, with the exception of the last season, which I'm very disappointed in. I think y'all would like Killing Eve. It's on Hulu if y'all haven't seen it.
I'll watch it.
I do agree with Katie about how slow motion can enhance certain scenes, but Zack Snyder, for the love of God, he's over.
Don't tell him
so much that I just don't want to see him use it at all.
Right.
Hello, no.
No.
No. Oh my gosh.
No, just
Gosh. But yeah. I'm so glad that it finally came out. I was really sad when it got dropped. I was like, oh my gosh, it's never going to get picked up. But I'm just going to need like them to campaign for Jodie Comer's award season, because I really think she could, she could do something.
Yeah. She's going to get, I hands down, she's going to get nominated for an Oscar. Like I'm like 100% confident she's going to get nominated for best actress. I just think it's going to happen.
I feel like not a lot of people talk about her. It's so disappointing. And it's just like, oh my gosh, if y'all saw Killing Eve, you would see what I see. I see the vision of like her as like Yelena Belova. Like, even though I love Florence Pugh, but like Yelena Belova, like an assassin or killer character, like she's just like, she really takes on these roles. And I feel like she has a really good diversity.
I think this is putting her on the map, though, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Austin Butler. Let's get them in a rom-com together.
I'm not surprised about Austin Butler's performance at all, because I had a feeling he was going to kind of outshine Tom Hardy. And nothing against Tom Hardy. It's just, even though he was the leader of the Raiders, it felt like, to me, Austin Butler's character, like as Benny, he was like the essential part of the group, in my opinion.
Yeah, he was really like always the first one to jump into a fight. He didn't really think a lot. You don't really know a lot about his backstory, which I find even better because it just gives that more mysterious vibes. I wonder if that's how it is in the book. I kind of feel like it is, because I get the vibe that he never really wanted to talk to the guy doing the interview, that it was just all Kathy. And I don't even think Kathy knows him very well. And it's just very telling. But it was also really sad when Tom Hardy's character, spoilers, died. I knew from the second she said, when you leave, go get eggs. Say that again?
Oh, well, I was going to say, what did y'all think of the end? Because I felt like the ending was cute. It was interesting to me.
Were like, you know, that Florida last scene where they're
in Florida, when like she's looking at him and she's like, we're really happy together. And he's kind of like, he doesn't smile immediately. And he's just kind of sitting there. Like, there was something weird. I felt like, are they happy or not? You know what I mean? Like, it was kind of that question of like, that's interesting.
Well, he smiled. I think he kind of felt like he can rest. Yeah, I think he finally was like sitting, contemplating, and he just had that rest. And maybe he was just reflecting in that moment of like his life.
Honestly, it's the
I always like how he's like. Go ahead.
Oh, it's the opposite of what I thought was going to happen. Like the way she was telling the story, I thought it was going to be that that Benny ended up, spoiler alert for everyone, that Benny was going to end up dying and Tom Hardy's character, Johnny, was going to be the one that was still living. But I was surprised it was actually the opposite way.
Yeah, I knew from the second she said, when you leave, go get eggs. Like, I knew he wasn't going to come back. I didn't even Google or anything. I just had that. I just knew. And I think that was a really good setup scene for the director. But yeah, the ending was a little off. I'll have to watch it again, but I can watch Austin Butler ride a bike for 4 hours straight. And Jodie Comer is just hilarious. But overall, I give it like a 4.5, 5 out of 5.
It's going in my top 10 by the end of the year. Actually, it is. It's already in my top 10.
Next to Challengers and Dune Part 2.
I'm not going to watch Challengers at all.
It's not inappropriate. I was like, I don't want to see Zendaya's tits. And you don't. I mean, you kind of do, but you don't. And I was like, okay, thank God. Because I couldn't have taken another type of poor things
situation. I just don't want to see her get sandwiched by two dudes.
Right. She did it. No.
It was okay. I wasn't a huge fan of Challengers. I think it's a good movie. I just like, Like, when you think of sports movies, it just, to me, it felt like it was three jerks who loved a sport. You know, like, they all played with each other, and they were all, like, manipulative people, and, like, they just kind of manipulated everybody. Yeah, and I was like, okay.
Team Toshi Duncan all the way.
Huh?
Oh, gosh. Team Toshi Duncan for life. She was just... She was the real hero of the story to me.
It's just, I don't think it's a movie that is, like, my type of movie, I guess. I don't know.
That's okay. It's not for everybody, but officially every MJ / Gwen has been in a tennis movie, and every Peter Parker has been in a military movie. So weird, but so fitting.
Those parallels. It's crazy.
Oh, gosh. But that is episode 8 for the Midcasters. We're back from our 2-week hiatus, and we're joined today by Katie. And Katie, where can they find you? What can we know about you? And tell us a fun fact about yourself. Just kidding, you don't have to.
Yeah, no. So you can find me on TikTok. I'm at LittleKatieTV. On basically all platforms. I got Instagram and Twitter as well. Also Letterboxd. I think I'm LittleKatieTV on there. I don't know my username. Anyway, but what I do, I usually post, I talk about all things movie news, TV movie news, and I try to do movie reviews when I can. But yeah, so... But thank you guys for having me.
Always. We love you. And Craig, where can they find you?
On Instagram, TikTok, and the letter of the box. All the same name. Craig Jr. 97.
Awesome. And you can find me at Sandra Loves Movies on the Letterboxd, because what are you doing if you're not following any of us on Letterboxd? Go follow us. You can find me on Twitter at Jalen Sanderson and Tick of the Talk at Lost in Life Translation, because I have no idea what I'm doing in this life. But that's episode 8. Come back next week for episode 9. Bye-bye.